This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Look, the economy is complicated. Just witness that savings rate story Andy just did for us, right? And we know that sometimes, try though we might to help you understand it, we throw business and economics at you pretty fast. So today, a new series in which we slow way down and go back to basics. We're calling it, and this was not my idea, we're calling it Kai Explains.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
You recently asked what's going on with this economy.
So how do these two concepts work together?
Our first installment is something we talk about all the time.
The rate of inflation.
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 Inflation. Inflation.
Could you whip up a little more inflation, please?
We talk about inflation all the time because it matters. It's a key measurement of where the economy might be headed, how consumers are doing day to day, and it's what Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve spend so much time trying to keep stable. So, what are we talking about when we talk about inflation?
Well, the way most people think about inflation is when the prices of goods and services that they buy go up.
That's Erica Groshen. She's a visiting scholar at Cornell University, also a former commissioner at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which calculates the Consumer Price Index, or CPI.
So we have about 400 people across the country who collect about 80,000 prices per month of pretty much anything that, you know, you or your household might purchase.
That is Steve Reed. He is currently at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He says he's not the CPI guy, but
I am a CPI guy.
Steve says those 80,000 items include a whole basket of stuff. Bananas and televisions, haircuts, prescription drugs, rent, gasoline, college tuition as well.
And when people use the CPI, what they're often using is the change in that index, which could be defined as inflation.
And when the CPI comes out every month, there is a headline number that tells you how much the prices of those 80,000 items in the basket have gone up or down. And then there is another number. It's called the core number that intentionally leaves out food and energy prices, which can bounce around a whole lot.
So increases in those particular goods, you know, may not reflect, you know, long-term pressures. They may just be reflecting weather patterns or things like that.
Former BLS Commissioner Erica Groshen, one more time, talking CPI. But because nothing in economic reporting is ever easy, when we talk about inflation, we also have to talk about the Federal Reserve, which means there are three more letters you need to know.
PCE. So PCE stands for personal consumption expenditures. It is also sometimes referred to as consumer spending.
That's David Washausen. He's the chief of the National Income and Wealth Division at the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the agency that calculates PCE. Also, and not for nothing, they're the people who calculate GDP, too.
I think the relationship between the PCE price index and the CPI would be that of tight cousins. They largely tell the same story from period to period.
But, as I said, nothing in economic reporting is ever easy. So in 2000, the Federal Reserve announced that PCE, not CPI, but PCE is the measure of inflation it is going to use to set its inflation target.
One reason the Fed likes to look at that price is because it can be fit in that GDP framework. And so they can look at what is the economy doing? Is it hitting a target growth? And then let's look very specifically at those prices that are paid by consumers in that same exact framework and see how that gauges our target inflation.
August PCE numbers, remember that's what the Fed uses, comes out at the end of this week, so you can channel your inner Jay Powell and try to guess what the Fed is going to do next. No, don't. It's too hard. Leave that to the professionals. Tell us what you want me to explain next. You can do that at marketplace.org or hit me up on Twitter. I am at Kai Rizdahl, K-A-I-R-Y-S-S-D-A-L.